Open your Bibles with me, Hebrews 11. Father, Lord, we thank you for the precious Word of God. Without it, we're helpless. Without it, we don't know you. Without it, we don't know what to do. Without this precious book, Lord, we have no information about anything beyond this physical life. Thank you, God has preserved it for our day. Now, I can open it right now, and as I read these words that God inspired, I can understand who God is. Dear Father, I can begin to use knowledge that God has given me the capability to have to see something beyond this life. For God, who is a spirit, reveals himself through our spirit when he quickens us and makes us alive unto God, according to Hebrews 2. And Father, when that happens, there's a reality in our soul the world knows nothing about, because it's not put there by materialistic things and molecules. It's put there by the Spirit of God. And it's assurance in our heart to know that all is well with God's children, no matter what circumstances in this life. Now, we open the book tonight, Lord. You hadn't given us the time for us, our lot, to go home yet, so we need to learn. We need to learn about you. We need to learn about ourselves. We need to learn, Lord, that what it is you're doing, and find our place and our lot in life here so you could use us for your glory until you call us home, either by the rapture or through the exodus of death. And that's what we ask tonight. Holy Spirit, help us tonight, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, we've been looking at the supremacy of God for about 10 weeks. And we finished that up last week. And Sunday morning, I preached a message on understanding God, the first Sunday of stewardship. And I think that's very important. Now, tonight, I want to stretch that understanding God, because it's important for us to know who he is, know what he's doing. And we may have head knowledge of those things because we've heard them taught or heard them taught. But on the other hand, we may not know how to apply them. We may not know how they are applicable to our lives. And that's where faith comes in. And so I just call this understanding God by faith, because it's faith. Somebody will say, well, I can see God like you Christians say you do. Well, first of all, that's right. You have to be a Christian to see God like we Christians say you have to see it. Because without being a Christian, there is no understanding spiritual things. Man can carry a conversation, and one can outweigh the other based on his IQ, how much he may know physically. But when it comes to spiritual things, it takes the Spirit of God for us to understand what's happening in our lives spiritually and beyond this life and for God. And so the littleness of our faith will make us complain more than the greatness of our trouble in life, because even when we're in the midst of trouble, God strengthens our faith more so. Some people teach it, well, we're strengthened if I can get something from God. It strengthens my faith. Well, listen, our nation is the most blessed material nation in the world, and getting things don't make one closer to God. If it would, our nation would be the closest nation in the world that's ever existed to God. We have more than any person has ever had in a lifetime. So it's a known fact, getting things don't make us closer to God. The world thinks it does, and sometimes we may think that. But walking with God by faith and claiming the promises that God can use us will do some things for you and I. Now, we said Sunday the Bible is not written to prove God's existence. It's written just to declare his existence. And that's all the Lord is trying to do. And so Hebrews, again, just for a springing board. And then I'm going to talk a little about God's creation of order in life so we can see where we come from. And then we're going to go into how to apply it by faith. And when you get to that point, you begin to understand philosophy. You begin to understand mental thinking. You begin to understand how that God can give us information about what he's doing spiritually since we've been made alive, that we can grasp it just as good as we can talk to a man about historical things or about science or about math or anything else. We can grasp spiritual things because we're connected to God by his Spirit. We've been been made alive. In verse 1, he said, God who at sundry times and in divers manners, that in many parts and many ways, in diverse manner, different ways, spake in times past unto the fathers. How? By the prophets. So God is saying there was a time, Old Testament, Genesis 1 till we get to Malachi, that God spoke through the prophets. And yet we know between Malachi and John, or Matthew, there was about 400 years, he didn't speak at all. He was very silent. And then he said, at that time, though, God spoke to man in different ways, at different times, by the prophets. And then he says, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son. And then he says, whom he hath appointed heirs of all things. Now watch this. You know, the world gets so confused. They say, well, you say Jesus created everything, and others say God created everything, and then we say God through Christ created everything. Can't you get your story straight? Yes. Yes, we can. In God's plan and purpose, Jesus Christ is God did create. But it's God through Christ creating at that time. Don't try to confuse a mind that's set on the Word of God just because sometimes the Scripture may look at God said he created, and then Jesus, by the way, here he says this, watch. This helps me understand, I think. He said he hath in these last days spoken us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heirs of all things, by whom also he made the world. You see that? In other words, God is saying his Son is God the Son. And if I understand it, by whom he made the world. It is, if you look at God as God the Father, he through his Son created the world. Now, I don't have no trouble with that. In other words, when you say God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, whatever they're doing, they all three are agreeing that what they're doing is, hey, you know, if the Holy Spirit, since God is omnipresent, and God is a spirit, and God the Holy Spirit being like he is living in us, but when he speaks, it's God living in us, or Christ living in us. It doesn't matter which one you're talking about, they're the same. Except they're three distinct personalities, and they have a function. And if we can understand how to reconcile those functions together, it enhance our hearts and life about who he really is. Now, if you also look at me 11, chapter 11, we know it's a springing board where it says again, now faith is the substance of things hoped for. You heard me quote this many times. And the evidence of things not seen. And then he tells us today, as we think of this, faith is such a thing's hope for, the evidence of things not seen. Then he tells us that it's by it the elders obtained a good report. Those who've gone on before us have walked the same channel through faith. And then he says, notice this, through faith. Hey, world, you ought to understand what we're talking about when we talk about God who you can't see. You ought to know what we're talking about. We're talking about God who created this world that you can't see. God who took nothing and brought something out of nothing, even though he was there himself. You telling us? Do you want us to really tell you how we understand? Right here he tells us. Faith is substance things hoped for, evidence things not seen. By it the elders retain a good report. And by the way, the day will come someone can look back to you and I who teach this book, who walk by this book, and they'll say the same thing. Those who walk and study this book, teach this book, who walk by this book, attain a good report. Because it's the book that God's Word, which is God's Word, that gives us the direction that we have to go. And watch what he said. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God. One day God, if I may say, flung the stars into space with the tip of his finger by the word of his power. Someone says, well, I can't believe that. I can't. Why? By faith. That's what this book tells me. And I believe this book. In other words, by faith, we understand that the world. You say, how do you understand it? We understand it because God said it. You say, well, how did he do it? I didn't say I understood that. I just said I understood he did it. Amen? Amen. You see? And somebody comes back and say, well, they don't get it. I say, well, you tell me how it's done. Well, let's see. You know, there was a time back here, Ben's a year, that had a big explosion. I'll stick with what God said. I mean, surely what I believe by faith is greater than what you believe by ignorance. Now, I don't mean you. I mean, I'm talking about the world. You say, but they don't think they're ignorant. I know, but God calls them fools because they don't believe what God says. Right. It isn't that you and I call them that. I wouldn't call that. I have more respect for people to do that. But God has said, if you don't understand what I'm saying about myself and won't believe it, because the only way you're going to get it is through faith. And then he goes on and he says, why? So the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. In other words, God has said, when you really get this thing, you believe by faith, you understand there one time there was nothing that appeared. And I brought something out of nothing. And when you see that which has appeared, remember, it didn't come from something that already had appeared. It came from nothing that had appeared, and I brought it into existence. And he goes on and tells us then, you know, some other things about faith in this particular chapter. Now let's go back quickly and look at some things quickly. God's order of creation. When we go back to the beginning, God the Father, God the Son, the Holy Spirit, to bring down to the fact of why we should believe this by faith. We have angels, or the highest order of creation, created things, in Hebrews chapter 2 and back in verse 7. This is the highest order of creation that we know of in the beginning. You find in Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 7, it says, "Thou hast made him a little lower than the angels. Thou crownest him with the glory and honor, and didst set him over the works of thy hands." He's talking about man in general, and of course the Lord Jesus was born among man. So man is next in order. First you had the angels, and now once that's created, before we have matter and so forth, we have, because angels can't be seen either, so they're part of the invisible world, the spiritual world. But now we come to a place where God steps to make matter. And now man is next in order. So the highest order of creation is next, man, which is higher than plants. Angels created first is higher than man. Man now is created is higher than plants. When we see this, man has a spirit, soul, and body. We've seen that 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23, I think it is. Present your whole spirit, soul, and body blameless before the Lord. Now, sometimes when we talk about the body and the soul and spirit, we have no trouble identifying soul, spirit, if we put them together in the body, because we can see the body. And we know there's life of the body. The difficult comes that man tries to say, wait a minute, whatever you say, you may have soul, spirit, they may be the same, but they're not separately, because the body I can see, the other I cannot see, and there is life in the body. So I agree that one or the other or both of those together make the part that I can't see. That's not what God said. You see, man has trouble dividing soul and spirit, but God doesn't. You want to see that? Because if you look with me again in Hebrews chapter 4, look in verse 12. The distinction is very clear with God. He says, for the word of God, that's the difference. So if a person don't believe in God, they don't believe in the word of God. And he said, the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Watch it. This is really sharp. He's not talking like the guy does sending you a knife at the fair and he gets a tomato out there and he flaps down it like they do. And he said, look how sharp this thing is. And he gets a piece of steel and he cuts that. And he gets another tomato and he cuts it again. And he talks about how sharp it is. Look what it can do. That knife will not pierce between the soul and the spirit. But God says he can. And what he says is this. For the word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and spirit, and of the joints of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Sometimes we have difficult dividing between the soul and the spirit, have no trouble with the body and whatever those two would be. But I say, tell you this, God has no trouble. It's very clear with him. So I see the angelic host, and that's higher than man. I see man is higher than the plant life. And then I see animals, which are like men to some degree because they have bodies of flesh. I'm trying to look at God's creation now, and what are these things for, if possible? I know one thing, everything's for God's pleasure. But now he's talking about the animals, and animals have bodies. And now, because we know the word soul in the Old Testament, many times talks about breath. And so you can talk about breath as being this. I think it's, forget what the Hebrew word is for that. But we're talking about breath. Now, animals have breath. Now, plants don't have breath. They say they breathe. they breathe carbon dioxide and put off oxygen. Isn't that right? Well, man can't live that way. You breathe carbon dioxide without any oxygen, you'll die. Amen? You don't believe it? Get home tonight, shut yourself in the garage, cut the car on, let it run all night long. No, don't do that. Don't do that. I don't talk that. But I'm saying the fact is we understand reverse what plants have, and it'll kill us. But on the other hand, we talk about the animals have bodies and they have breath, but they have no spirit. Now, here's where they began to leave us when we try to talk about the difference in animals. I didn't come from an animal. I came from the hand of God through procreation from Adam. And so did you. And every animal did not come from man. He came through procreation through the hand of God by creating the animals. And one thing about it is, he called the animals forth. He made us from the dust of the ground, blew into the breath of life. He took more pain with us than he did with animals. Or any other of the creation, as far as I'm concerned, unless it would be the angels. So animals have soul, spirit, have a soul and body, or breath and body, we'd call it, but no spirit. Now, here's the thing. When you look at angelic hosts, you look at us as human beings, and you look at animals, or even look at plant life, the governor principle of behavior of animals is not thought process like ours. It's instinct. And when you look up instinct, the animal does what it is supposed to do because it's what it is. You and I should do what we're supposed to do, but it's what God wants us to do. But isn't it amazing, Frank? You know the worst person in the world, if there is such a thing as the worst person that disobeys God, is man. Because we make decisions. We analyze facts. We analyze words. Whether it be from God through His Word or for it be what we see here in this particular life. So the animals does what it does because of what it is. Now, man and animals are locked up into its own particular behavior patterns. We may act like animals sometimes, but we're not animals. By the way, an animal acts like an animal, and that's all they can. They can never act like a man. I don't care if they did say, I'm hungry. He still can't act like a man. Because an animal is made, ladies and gentlemen, the behavior is like behavior is like what an animal is. And so if I get this understanding, so a man and animals are locked into their own behavior pattern. Man, the soul, embraces the intellect, the emotion, embraces the will. And since the fall of man has taken place, conscience has taken place, and the inner knowledge of right and wrong has entered into us when one time we didn't know anything that was wrong. Just what was right before Adam and Eve fell. And when Satan came along and offered them that one thing, of course, you know what happened. It threw us in chaos. And since the fall of man has taken place, conscience has come. When Adam and Eve sinned, their conscience was awakened. And now they realize what right and wrong is. And by the way, when God said, and I thought about this past week when I was studying this, reviewing it for the night. When God said to Adam and Eve, the day you eat that fruit thereof, you're going to surely die. And whatever it was that Satan did to get them to doubt him, we know the day that they did eat, they did die spiritually. But they didn't understand what it was to have physical death. But ladies and gentlemen, mothers, can you imagine with this? Can you imagine suddenly, even after the fall had come, and you found yourself cut off from God, running from God, and then he closed and kills an animal, and suddenly you have a relationship again through the blood that was shed from the animal. Can you imagine Adam and Eve now having their son, Abel and Cain? Here they are growing up. Far as we know, at that time, there was not a lot of trouble. We don't find any record of that. God doesn't give us anything. And can you imagine this? We as human beings, they said, you know, I don't know how old Cain was when he killed Abel, how old he was, or how old Abel was when he died. Necessarily, I don't know if I've ever seen the age of that. He's probably a young man. But can you imagine what would happen if Adam and Eve be sitting one day around a table eating food, enjoying the things of God, and suddenly they say, you know, God talked about us dying, but your dying wasn't so bad because the Lord came and fixed us up. I mean, he fixed it so we could have a relationship. He killed us. He clothed us. And really, it's been going good since then. Sometimes we do have, even though sin is around, we have some pretty good days, don't we? But can you imagine what it was the day when it came that she found out her son Abel had been killed? Can you imagine what it had been when she, maybe she didn't know it to start with, and found out that her other son, Cain, had killed her son? Suddenly, death has invaded in the ranks of the family. It must have been devastating. It must have been horrifying, the fact that a son now had died. Why? God said, the day you eat thereof, you shall die. And it passed upon the human race, and we're feeling the effects of it into the day. And the only thing that can reverse that is what Jesus has done for us, and when he gives us the glorified body. The glorified body will never have to know what it is to die. And no wonder we long for it. It must have broke her heart. She must have wept before God and said, my, how terrible death is. And by the way, it's going on today. I don't care when it comes. We say, well, how terrible it is. How terrible it is. 1 Corinthians tells us, chapter 15, it's the last enemy, the enemy we have in this particular life. And so here, animals and man in comparison, animals have instinct. An unborn instinct is an unborn tendency to behave a certain way. And so God has given man something that he never gave an animal. In Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 27, be good to mark this sometimes. He said, the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. That's an interesting verse of scripture. The spirit of man makes us God consciousness. The spirit of man is a candle of the Lord and certainly has the potential of being a bright candle for the Lord when it's quickened, when it's made alive, when we've been born into the family of God. And he says, that candle, the spirit of man, the candle of the Lord, searches all the inward parts of the belly or the depths of the soul inside us as human beings. That searching word of God, when quickens our heart and spirit, now searches us. It's the candle of the Lord as we read and we've been quickened into the family of God. Spirit of man makes us God conscious. And, of course, the soul makes us self-conscious. You heard me say the body makes us world conscious within our bounders as far as human beings are concerned. So our governor principles as a man is intelligence, is emotional, and cooperation of soul, spirit with the Holy Spirit in this body. Our intellect, our emotions, everything about us is in connection, in cooperation as God's Spirit who's quickened our spirit now in correlation of working with our soul, spirit in this body that gives us this wonderful place in this society to be called children of God. As John tells us, oh, what manner of love he's put upon us that we should be called children of God. So our body then becomes something wonderful. It's a vehicle for expressing human life in terms of our physical environment and nature. These bodies is what is the tabernacle we tabernacle in our environment, in the nature that we are. This is what you see come out as far as the nature. So when you and I are born into the family of God and we have that new nature, there's something good. If we don't see a new nature coming out of somebody, they've never been born again. Now, we may have a lot of things and cover it up. There may be some things that you see dark spot, but the new creation comes in. It will show itself in an environment just as much so as this old creation will, because the Holy Spirit is working under us along those lines. So the fall of man causes us a lot of trouble in these bodies. Our thinking has been damaged. We need a spiritual awakening when we've been born physically. Our redemption process, the day you got saved, you got the day you got saved. Our redemption process has not been consummated yet because the body has not been saved. The body's going back to the dust. The body cannot be saved. But there's going to become a consummation one of these days, and that's when we stand in the presence of God and God's Son takes his bride and introduce him to God the Father. Clean, white, Revelation 19, linen. And when we stand there on that day, we will be pure. Why? Because he made us that way. It isn't because we got the power to do it. Because he made us that way. We need 1 Thessalonians 5:23 alignment for this relationship when we talk about our position before God. God's created order. It's very, very important. Now, to get to where I'm at, I've gone back quickly with a panoramic view from before there's no man, the angels, creation, a quick flash through to where we're at today. Now, that means today then, for me to understand God, I've got to go to the book that he gave to me. I'll never understand it if I read from others because others are giving me opinions. And their opinions are good and I love and I take a lot of the opinions, but this book gives me truth. Now, it isn't the fact that some opinions are not true, but a lot of them are. But in this book, I never find opinions, I find truth. And I could put your trust in that. Sometimes an opinion we don't know because we know that the person who wrote gives an opinion. When they give an opinion, we don't know if it's truth or not. We know if it bears witness with our heart. But no one has ever been taught, God has never said about someone that when they wrote another book other than the Bible that it was inspired of God. He said this book was inspired of God. See the difference? Now, when I see this, I have to look at how this faith works. And we'll pick up next week as we get into it. But just let me say this. The branch of philosophy, which is investigates the way we investigate origins, nature, structure, which we investigate formation of knowledge. And when you put all these in a pot, I look this up, and there's a big word that covers them all. And I'm going to just use a big word, and that covers anything else that I miss. It's called epistemology. And this covers everything that we're talking about, how we are as far as our thinking, how process we're going, how we put things together. How do we know now, understanding under this umbrella, epistemology, how do we know then when we talk about how the world was made? That's the first thing. Here I am. I wasn't there 6,000 years ago plus when God made everything. I wasn't there standing on the side of nothing hearing God say, you know, animals come into existence. I wasn't there. How would I know that? Well, first of all, I've got to understand, I won't know it unless I understand God has quickened me, that where I will believe what he says. Now, if I'm not saved, I'm not going to believe everything he says because it don't sound right. It's foolish to us. That's what 1 Corinthians tells us. His word is foolish to us. Preaching the gospel is foolish to us. We don't have a way to understand. There's no bearing witness. But when we obey the gospel by receiving Christ, God promised the Holy Spirit to come in, and the Holy Spirit now comes in. Now, when I go back in my mind to study origins of things and begin to look at what man says and then begin to trust and read what God says, the bearing witness of the Holy Spirit gives me assurance of what God said is true. It's just true. So I wish I could believe that. There's a lot of folks would say that. Well, if you get a quickened awakening, that's the only way you get the Spirit. Do you know that? Just because we're born physical, no one can get the Spirit of God. It takes, you don't even get a physical body without conception and physical birth. And we don't get the Spirit of God without spiritual being spirit awakened. So how do we know how the world was made? How do we gain this knowledge? By the way, that's what it is, isn't it? Is it not? When you think about creation or how the world began in ages past, it's knowledge. How do we gain the right knowledge then? Who are we going to trust that it's the right knowledge? How are we going to understand the understanding of the origins of the universe and of life? And the first thing I look at now, more so than ever before, I cannot gain this knowledge by scientific or observation because I can't observe God doing it. They say, well, if you can't see it, then you can't really prove anything. Well, don't come telling me you can prove this earth was 50 billion years ago then because you sure didn't see that. Right? Help me out, folks, now, right? Am I paddling this boat by myself? I hope not. Because what it is letting us see God gives us knowledge. But it comes through the eyes of faith. And again, we can't gain this by scientific observation, for no human being was there to observe when God did it. You can see that he exists. Romans tells us that. In fact, he says, we are without excuse when we see what is made, not to believe that he exists. It don't tell us who he is, but he tells us that he exists. We can't gain this knowledge by laboratory experience either. For no human being has ever been able to experiment the laboratory existence about where we began. Again, it's interesting because in any experiment, you must begin with some materials that you are using for the experiment. Let me say that again. If it comes by experimenting, you have to go back and get some of the original material that you experiment with. Who's ever done that? Yeah, but you know, after 50 billion years later, we're getting material things, and that don't tell you anything. It's just that it exists. It doesn't give us no origin. God is a powerful being when it comes to bearing witness in our heart. So we can't gain this just from knowledge in the sense of reading what man says in the past about things started. We can't get it through scientific observation. We can't get it through laboratory experience if no one's back there. We can't gain this knowledge from mathematical formulations because there's no equation that provides an answer for it. So you can't get it out of mathematics, you can't out of math, you can't get it out of science, can't get it out of laboratory experiences. Now, we're taking things today and we're saying, hey, we got this way, we can do this, and we can take this layer and we can do this particular thing. And you know how they measure fact when age is, what is it? It slipped my mind, but you know what I'm talking about. But all of that is something is that they say we can do. Did you know, ladies and gentlemen, when God created this earth and he created man, he didn't create man as a babe, he created him as a full-grown man. That means he didn't create a little tree and let it grow up. He created it full-grown. So let's take 102 years for a tree to grow up and produce like it should and get certain things. Let's say it was grown when he created it. Don't tell me that just because you can go back and say, well, you look at the rings in a tree and tell how old it is. I know you can do that. But I don't know of any tree that lived 4 billion years, do you? If it is, it'd be big as New York City. Amen. What I'm saying, we can't gain this knowledge from mathematical formulation. So by what method do we know how the world was made? That's the question. You say, preacher, I know, but you talked to a lot of people this week that won't know, and they'll debate you. And they say, what method? We got a method. At least we believe Darwin's theory, or at least we believe in evolution, or at least we believe in the Big Bang's theory. What method do you have? You want me to give it to you? Genesis 1:1. And I'll read that and let you go home. God said, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. That's my method. Father in heaven, thank you again for the word of God, Lord, and bless it in our hearts. Give us understanding. Help us be established and yet loving this world to understand, Lord, we're not that smart, but we know this. To know you makes us something that we're not ourselves. And Lord, we've got to be able to stand our ground in a loving way towards people in these last days who've got God doing everything in this world except reaching people for Christ. Who's got people got their God doing everything except reaching people for Christ. And Lord, we're going to have to stick to the old paths. Please help us do that. But it's not because we got some gender selfish motive. It's because we really believe this book and you touch our heart to do as near as we know how what we need to do when our lot's in this earth to serve the living God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.